Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by our very dear friend, Brother Paige Tyler, who is our 12-step guru extraordinaire. We find ourselves working today on step number 9 through the 12 steps for Christians based upon biblical teachings. Brother Paige, welcome to the broadcast as always.
Thank you, Bradley. It is always a blessing, as you know.
You are welcome, and it always is on both sides of the spectrum here. Brother, we're looking at step 9, which is a rather meaningful one. It has a certain visceral quality to it. Would you tell us about step number 9?
Yeah, step number 9, made direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So here is oftentimes where people in the church kind of get like, oh, well, why do I have to do that? I've worked everything out with God. Why do I have to work everything out with those people who some of them I don't even like? And what the steps tell us is what we're working on here is we're working our life out, not only with God, but also with our surroundings around us so that we can be of maximum benefit to God and his work on the earth. If you're walking around carrying resentments and people are carrying resentments towards you, then you are less effective in your ability to deliver the message that God has us to deliver to the lost. So for every one of these types of events that we can correct, we further improve our ability to work God's program.
Well, brother, what would be the major impediments or barriers or obstructions? I mean, you mentioned resentment. I think bitterness would be a second significant obstruction. What are some of the other barriers that need to be confronted head on?
Fear is a major one.
Fear.
Yes. Yeah. How am I going to be accepted? How am I going to react? How are they going to react to me? Fear, acceptance. You know, those of us who suffer from acceptance rejection complexes, we're worried about being rejected. You know, as opposed to you know, always being everybody's friend. All of a sudden, we're not. And that's, you know, not acceptable to us in our world.
Well, along a cousin to that would be the what I'll call the niceness syndrome. We want to be nice.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the Bible are we encouraged, exhorted, or otherwise instructed to be nice.
Exactly.
It's a horrible misnomer.
Yeah. Look at some of Paul's letters. He's being far from nice to some of the churches that he created.
Holy, respectful. Polite, gracious, but
yep.
Forthright, truthful. The truthful can get in the way of being nice real fast. You know, always speak the truth in love. So loving, but that doesn't mean being nice. I've had to learn that.
Right.
That was one of the impediments for me. I've been genuinely deemed to be a nice guy, but nice guys don't advance the kingdom of God one iota. You know, nice, the old saying, they finish last. Well, they don't accomplish much either, alas. How about pride?
Pride is one of the major ones. Pride is one of the things that keeps us most locked in our barricaded shelters. You know, the pride of self, that we'd have to humble ourselves before somebody else and ask for their forgiveness. And oftentimes our pride, especially if we believe that that person has done something to harm us. And here's the caveat of step 9. You're supposed to ignore any harm that that person may have done to you.
Here's a case in point, and it may be a controversial one, okay? You would, I'm sure, are well aware of recent vintage, an episode that played out at one of the major league ballparks, and a home run was hit, and it was hit in one section, and I watched the video, and the lady's taking all the heat, and she deserves the heat. But I also watched the man, the father, who got the ball for his son. He went over into the other section. That wasn't
yes,
his section. That's being lost in the equation, you know?
I noticed that.
Right. And he got the ball. And I'm thinking, buddy, that's not your section. You've kind of violated protocol with that. So they both were a little bit out of place with what they were doing, you know? The lady's taking all the heat, but I actually think the father maybe needs to acknowledge he went into another section. So both sides needed maybe to drop the pride and drop the anger and acknowledge that there's maybe some impropriety on both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
My opinion, and I know where I'm in the minority on this.
No, I'm with you on that. I think the guy was way out of bounds when he ran he ran like 5 seats down in order to,
across the aisle,
In order to go and get the ball from somebody else who was at their feet. That's not acceptable.
You and I are the only ones who have observed this, apparently. But, when we speak of pride, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said something along these lines. When you're always looking down, you're looking down at other people from a prideful position, you can't see the blessings that are coming from above that are for you.
Right.
You'll miss them completely because you're too busy looking down.
Right.
Now, I think that's well stated, I do.
Right.
Now, we've made amends to God, maybe. Can one really say that we have made amends to God if we're unwilling to make amends to our fellow man?
Not according to the Bible.
That's my opinion, my conviction.
Well, Matthew 6 says that if you are unwilling to forgive your brother, then God will be unwilling to forgive you.
Right, right.
Which I always shudder at that one. In other words, if you don't forgive, then you're not going to be forgiven. I don't want to stand there guilty of my sins because I didn't forgive my neighbor. No, forgive my neighbor. Let's get that out of the way. That's the easy one.
We were talking in Bible class earlier today about, Jesus asked the man at the pool, "Do you want to be healed?" It's a very interesting question. And I have found that in our fallenness, because of sin, we've become very complicated creatures. We may want to forgive and yet refuse to forgive. We may not want to forgive knowing that we have to forgive. We're so complicated now. But the fact of the matter is that God always knows what we need better than we know ourselves. We're asking him for a dime and he knows that we need 10 grand. We're asking him to heal our stub toe, and he happens to know that we have diabetes, the second level or whatever numbers they are.
Right.
He always knows better because he sees deeper. And according to the Lord, at the core of our healing is the need to be forgiven and to forgive.
Exactly.
You've experienced that, haven't you, in your role as a 12-step minister?
Exactly, and you absolutely have to do it. Without the forgiving part of it, you are missing. It's like a critical ingredient. The cake comes out flat. And the person keeps trying to make the cake without that critical ingredient. They keep trying to say, well, I can forgive this, this, and this, but that one I can't forgive. And the minute they do that, the cake comes out flat. It's like saying I'm not going to put the eggs in the cake.
Yes. Well, somebody made the comment that watching a church service, and now look, it's a helpful thing when you need it, but making a steady diet of watching church on TV and not being part of a fellowship is like watching a fireplace on TV, but without the warmth. It's a similar process here.
Right.
Without the forgiveness, you're missing the essential component to life in Christ. You have been forgiven. That is categorically, I mean, that's the fundament of your existence now. You stand forgiven of your sin by God. That's the predicate of your Christian life. And you now also, because of that forgiveness, you may call yourself a child of the Almighty. But the moment you cease to offer forgiveness, you're denying somebody else perhaps that same predicate. And in the very least, you're damaging your own fundamental predicate of new life in Christ. But brother, I know you have a thought. You have to hold it. You have to hold it till we come back from the break. So take a deep breath and don't let it go. Okay? Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler. Brother Tyler will share his thoughts on the other end of the commercial divide. Thank you so much. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, you can release that breath, and you were about ready to speak. And speak away, dear man.
Yes, it is so easy to get lost in the especially in the what they did to me scenario and not being able to be forgiving, or the one that's worse is, oh, I could forgive them if they would ever stop doing it. Well, you're not here to change them. You're here to change you. You're not interested in their relationship with God. You're interested in correcting your relationship with God. And since I'm cleaning up my side of the street, I'm not worried about the trash cans on the other side of the street right now.
For full disclosure, there was a time and a rather lengthy season in my life when I wrestled with some bitterness towards someone. And I can tell you, it didn't do the person any good at all, but it did me even worse.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't simply an impediment to reconciliation with another human being. It was an impediment to my own spiritual walk. And I confronted it, and yet I couldn't somehow discharge it. I can give myself A for effort, and yet an F minus for accomplishment. I struggled with it, and it was nasty, and it created a very ugly besmirchment to my character, let's be honest.
Right, and these things keep coming back. You know, they're like whack-a-mole, you know?
Yes.
You know, you squash them down, and they pop up over here in another way. You really need the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in order to try and quell these things. You cannot really do it of your own power. This is where humility comes in and yielding to the strength of the Lord in your life so that he can step in and he can put the bomb on the situation and cause there to become a healing. Christ is the healer. We aren't. Usually when I try to... go ahead.
Please, no, continue, please.
Usually when I try to heal a sore, I scratch it, and I make it worse.
Yes, I understand, and I agree wholeheartedly. It's very interesting, to put it mildly. We can send men to the moon. We're now talking about sending men to, and women to Mars. We can change our domestic climate with air conditioning and all that kind of thing. We can make advances digitally, electronically, mechanically. We can't do anything to improve our soul but for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We absolutely, and this is where what the steps are all about. The steps are about taking someone who is totally separated from Christ and bringing them into a relationship with Christ to come to know that there is a power greater than them. And that power loves them and wants to save them.
And you speak of utilizing the steps. I learned in my formative era, everything was a not even simply a step-by-step process, which it was, but for me, and I think for anyone who has humbled himself or herself and is working through the 12 steps, we're talking baby steps, one baby step at a time. They may be 12 in number, you know, like it's been said of novels and movies, there are 12 basic plot lines. You can have variations of 12 differing themes, but there are fundamentally 12 plot lines. And I think it's something similar. We may have any number of issues, a multitude of issues, but they're all part and parcel of the 12 steps. And, you know, right. and so we make baby steps after baby step after baby step. And by the time, you know, by the time you've gone through one full existential rotation, I mean, it may take more than 1 year. These 12 steps transcend days, months, and years. But by the time you've gone through one full rotation and you look back, my goodness, by God's grace, how far one has come.
Exactly. See, and it is baby steps. We call it one day at a time. Baby steps.
Yes, there you go. And I would also put it this way, as a writer, you're often called upon to rewrite what you've written. The process of rewriting a document, whether it's an essay or a letter or a novel or a treatise, you know, the process of rewriting is a mode of refinement. These steps are helping to refine our now Christ-like characters, refining them over, like going to an eye doctor, and when they test your eyes and they're constantly shifting that thing to determine what your prescription for glasses is. It's a continuous reshifting.
Exactly.
That's what the Spirit of God is doing. He's continuously refining us.
Constantly refining us. Plus the fact is that God is very much aware of the fact that emotionally and psychologically we're not capable of making the sudden dramatic change, at least most of us aren't, that would be required. Every once in a while, somebody comes along and has a Pauline experience. They get struck down on the road to Damascus, flash a light, and they come up and they're like a different person. Most of us are not of that type. Most of us are what they call of the educational variety. We're slowly but surely, and this is 99% of mankind, is slowly but surely educated one day, one event, one situation at a time. God teaches them how to respond to these things in a godly way rather than a manly way. And sometimes we have to go through the same thing over and over and over again until we get it right.
Well, let's look at the natural order of things. When your body, let's say you've cut your hand, it's going to take a little bit of time for the natural healing to play out. It could take a couple of weeks, depending upon the right. severity of the cut. Or if you've undergone surgery, I've undergone two major cardiac surgeries. The first one took 3 to 6 months of recovery. The second took maybe 1 to 2 months of recovery. Okay? If this is true of the human body, how much more true is it of the human soul? You know, if it's to have durable, lasting significance. We're always looking right. for the quick fix, but that's not how it works.
Right. And these things that exist in our soul are spiritual cancers, and they need to be removed surgically. You know, precisely, and every bit of them need to be removed. That little bit of hanging on to anger or resentment or selfishness or I can never let go of this, that little teeny bit leaves the cancer in the spirit.
Brother, I love how you put it, and with affectionate humor as we take our leave for the next commercial break. Does this make you a 12-step oncologist?
No.
I didn't think so either. I just had to ask the question, but I didn't think so either. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return for yet a third round of The Great Message in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey. Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, we're returning for a third round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Tyler and I are discussing step number 9, which is that we have made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Brother, easy to do. We've been accentuating the negatives of not doing this step the right way, of not forgiving, of not making amends. But let's get positive. What's the upside of doing step 9 in a proper spirit?
Boy,
what are the positives that come out of this?
The positives are is that you come out of this with a clean slate. You come out, even if the person rejects the fact that you came to them and attempted to make the amends, even if they say, get out of my office, I never want to see you again, you walk away clean. You have a clean slate. That stuff is no longer taking up space in your brain. It is cleared out. It's done. You did your part. You move on to the next and on to the next and on to the next. When you're done, before you're halfway through, and I'm stealing this, you're going to be amazed. You know, you will start seeing benefits that are just simply amazing.
Well, that clean
payoff.
Yeah, the payoff. That clean conscience, if you will. You and I were speaking off the mic. You underwent a cataract procedure last week, and how much more clearly you're seeing through the one eye now. It's like night and day. When you have a clean conscience, you're seeing life through. It's like the difference is night and day. You're seeing life through a much more purer, more healthy lens. There's nothing quite like it.
Right. That's a great analogy. It's like having cataract surgery.
Yes.
You start seeing life in a completely different way. You didn't know that you were spending energy, precious spiritual energy, on either suppressing, hiding, or trying to deny the feelings that were associated with these events in your life. And now by confessing and then confronting them, you have eliminated them and you freed up all that extra energy. You now have that energy to go and do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's use another illustration. When one travels, many people, they want to take everything they own on a trip because they don't know what they're going to need. All of that extra baggage is unduly cumbrous physically. At a certain point, it becomes very cumbrous mentally. It really starts to bog you down. But
right.
You start taking more trips and you discover you don't need this, you don't need that. You streamline, you trim down. You've got it down to one carry-on and maybe you don't even need to check something in. And you use your pockets wisely. It's a much cleaner, much more refreshing enterprise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Not having all that baggage.
In fact, you learn how. I learned such that I don't even care where I sit on a plane anymore because I don't even put a over the head bag anymore. I have a carry on bag that goes under the seat. You know, there's no room. I go
yes.
under the seat, especially if I'm on a short trip. A week or less, bag fits under the seat. Now, I used to lug around, you know, two or three bags.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. And all of the cumbersome work that it took to get from each different transport place, you know, from the car to the tram to the airport to the baggage check-in. You know, to waiting for your baggage at the landing place. All that stuff I cut out. I got all the extra time now.
Yes.
You know, I walk out with my bag, walk straight to wherever I'm going to get my car and go.
You're much freer.
I'm much freer.
Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom, says the Scripture. You know, or liberty, depending upon your translation. So applying step number 9 is a very liberating experience.
Yes. It's extremely liberating to you. That's the reason why the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says you'll be amazed before you're halfway through. That's where I stole that phrase from. Because this will clean you up so good. You will be so it's not like taking your car to the car wash. It's like taking your car to the detail shop.
Yeah, nicely stated. I like that. We're building upon our metaphors and illustrations. This is a wonderful exercise. I'm thinking along with freedom, it also allows us greater flexibility. I'm going to be much more readily available and no doubt more readily disposed to be of help to someone else or to take on something else without having an unduly severe burden within myself.
It also has removed barriers that were previously there.
Yeah.
Someone who you would not have gone to before because there was a barrier you now can go to.
Yes.
Someone who would not have come to you before because of these artificial barriers will now feel free to come to you and talk freely with you.
Well, I'm glad you raised this because for you and I, life is very relational. I don't mean to say that we're party animals. I don't mean it that way. But we understand that as servants of Christ, we are part and parcel of a wider body, and God will want to use us on behalf of another human being. And so when we have the freedom in Christ and when we have flexibility, we can be put to his service to help other people, to help fellow believers grow in Christ, to help other people come to Christ, to help them sort out their messes. We do it in love. We have the freedom and the flexibility for this to happen now.
Right.
Because we're not responsible for carrying baggage.
Exactly.
And you go to the airport, they don't have porters anymore. So you're going to carry your own baggage. We're no longer responsible. Our hands are free to help out.
Exactly. And we now become the porters. We become people who can help other people. We become people who can assist because we have the freedom. We're not carrying all that baggage. And we can now, you see clearer. So now you can see through situations that you have been through, and you can help people through these situations because now you're on the other side of the situation. When you were sitting there carrying the situation, you were in the middle of it and could not get out of it. Now you're on the other side of it. You can see how to get out. You know how to get out of the maze. You know how to relieve yourself of that emotional stress. And the trauma you've gotten over the trauma of your childhood, the trauma of your youth, and you are now able to help someone else over the same bridge that you have come over.
Well, doesn't the Apostle Paul say, I believe, in the letter to the Philippian church, that we are to forget what is behind? Translation, at least in part, we are to put behind us and even to forget about all that baggage that was holding us down. You know, I remember, brother, I spent literally decades trying to work through all of my impediments. They were pronounced and profound. And I would say that when I went out to the Mayo Clinic, had my first major cardiac surgery 6 years ago, it was in the aftermath of that that everything finally broke free for me. And 6 years ago, I finally found myself, by my estimate, there can be some residuals, to be honest, but in the main, I found that finally my prayer had been answered, my labor had proven effective, and I had been set free. And the difference in my life now, by my estimate, is stunning and stark. I am so much more available to my own welfare, to the welfare of those around me, to the implementation of the work God has called me to do. I've even reached a point at which the work itself, you know, what do I get out of this? The work itself has become the reward for me. How liberating is that? You know, and so to be set free from all that holds us back, praise God. Praise God.
Yep. Well, it reminds me of a phrase that says, don't let yourself stumble today over a obstacle that is behind you.
Yes. I like that. I like that very much.
So, let's clear all this mess that's behind us. Clear it out. Get it out of the way.
So stop looking through the rearview mirror because there's a Mack truck right in front of you.
Right in front of you. Right. So let's focus on the forward. Looking forward, pressing toward the mark that the Lord has set in front of us. That we let all this stuff go behind us, and that's what we're doing in step 9. We're letting the last of it go.
Yeah.
And we are stepping forward into the future. And now we're focused on the life that God had set for us to live in the first place.
Sounds good to me.
You know?
Praise God. I know it sounds good to you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we hope it sounds good to those of you who are listening. We return for a final round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Ministry for Christians, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Before we partake of our last round of conversation concerning step number 9, just a personal word. There's a lovely lady who listens to this broadcast every week and has been doing so now for 7.5 years.
Wow.
Her name is Mary Ann Albert. And she is a very dear Catholic sister in Christ. She works at St. Joseph's Villa in Flowertown. Her patients are all Catholic nuns. Her colleagues are mostly all Baptist people. And she loves the broadcast. And I just wish to offer a shout out to my dear friend, Mary Ann Albert. God bless you, dear lady. Thank you for your encouragement and support. Thank you for all you do on behalf of the dear sisters. It is a joy to know you through this broadcast. God bless you truly. Now, Brother Page, step number 9. I'm thinking of that wonderful song by Robert Goulet, and I can hear Goulet singing it with his potency. On a clear day, rise and look around you. When you've done step 9, you've been so clarified that you can rise up and look around and take it all in and see how God can use you for the rest of your days. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
The same song says you can see forever.
Yes, exactly. I love it. I love it. I love it. By the way, a very good friend of mine who has passed away, Pastor Bill Stebbins, he was like a second father to me, and he was the pastor here at First Baptist Conshohocken back in the 70s. Bill and Robert Goulet were close personal friends.
Ah.
Whenever Goulet came to the old Valley Forge Music Circus, he would look up Bill and they'd have dinner together. Just an aside. But yes, we can see forever, which is essentially the life of the believer. We are now children of eternity, living our lives in the presence of the eternal Almighty God.
And that's what this is about. We're establishing a relationship with God. We are coming to know God, and God is coming to know us. So we don't have to worry about facing that fateful day where we stand before the Lord, and he says to us, who are you? I don't know you. If you've gone through this process, either in the 12 steps or as it previously existed in the Bible before it was extracted into the steps, you will have come to know your God. You will walk with him. You will talk with him. You will tarry with him along the way.
And that lovely text from John in one of his epistles, where he says that we shall know God because we shall see him as he is. We shall be fully known, and we shall fully know.
Yes.
Because all of those impediments have been cleared away, and we're now on a road to clarity. We're on a road to being constructively and fruitfully utilized. We're on a road to the beatific vision of seeing God fully and being known fully by him. Money doesn't buy that.
Exactly. And, you know, now I'm blessed to have been to actually be actively working in steps that are higher than nine. But you got to remember those steps entail 1 through 9 repetitively over and over again. And I can see in my own life how I want to rebuild these barriers over again. You know, I want to build up new resentments. But today I have this spirit of the Lord that says to me, oh, wait a minute, that person is just a sinner just like you. You know, don't forget where you came from. You know, very quietly, but nudgingly, reminding me not to forget where I came from. And please don't get so high and mighty.
Put it this way, we've all come from the cesspool of sin, right? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Whether you're born and raised in Boston and root for the Red Sox, or you're born and raised in Philly and root for the Phillies, you were still existentially born into a cesspool of sin. The only difference I might add is that we had a taste of heaven with Fenway Park. That's the only difference qualitatively I would offer.
I've been to Fenway Park, and it is a beautiful baseball
Well, that it is, although I must say, Citizens Bank is a delightful place as well.
Yeah.
I don't like their hot dogs. I'd rather have a hot dog off the street. But Citizens Bank is a lovely place. There's no question about it. But you know what? Anywhere where God is present amidst his people, you know, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Wherever God is to be found in the presence of his people, that's a lovely place to be. We have Paige, you'll love this. We have a lovely young woman in our church, a very well-educated gal, very attractive, is experiencing a terrible affliction physically. And she and her husband have become integral to who we are. And one morning recently, she raised her hand to give testimony. And she started to weep. And she said, I want to give praise to God. Whenever I come to this church on any given Sunday, I know that I am loved. And she is loved. And she's giving glory to God. She knows she's loved. And she's loved because the presence of God has operative power. You know, and a lot of stuff has had to be cleared out. You know our history. I'm not speaking people now. I'm speaking spirits, and I'm speaking baggage. I'm speaking of my own baggage. A lot of stuff has had to be cleaned up and cleared out. And the Spirit of God has room to breathe now in such a powerful and meaningful way. And this gal is experiencing it. I praise God. I know when I come here that I am loved. That's such a beautiful thing.
Well, that's one thing about that I miss about regular attendance at First Baptist, because First Baptist is a church that has always been filled with love.
Well, you helped to create the conditions whereby that is a truth.
Yeah, rolling around on the floor with the kids.
that was great stuff. You by the way, you were an absolute pro at that job, I have to tell you. But even more soberly, you and I mean, I come out of the Reagan Revolution. You come out of the classic liberalism of the 60s. We kind of made a compact that we were going to make certain that we could discuss political differences, not just you and I, but the whole church, that we would have the freedom to speak concerning our political differences and not break into cantankerous divide or division. That was expressive of the love of Christ, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I don't believe, because I don't believe Christ, the political situation has anything to do with Christ.
You know how it can get in the way.
No.
We never allowed that to happen.
Yeah, I know how.
The grace of God.
Right.
I was on the conservative side, you were on the classic liberal side, and we were able to maintain a healthy environment for disagreements to be expressed and the love to abide. Praise God. That speaks to clarity.
See, that was the early church. I believe the early church was that way.
Absolutely.
You know, all those different dynamics sat together in one congregation, and they grew in love together.
And on that beautiful note, Brother Page, we're done for the day. Our hour is at an end. Thank you very much, Brad Lacey. Brother Paige Tyler, we're grateful for your attendance to this broadcast. May God bless you truly. Do take care.